This is being recorded for posterity. So, this is not a lecture, though, so we had a discussion about whether we should record it or not. So, how many interns here? Any? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Okay, good. And I see some residents, medical students. Okay, great. So this is a July-August lecture discussion that I want to have on syncope. I was asked to talk about this. And in reviewing for this, I'm very, again, once again, impressed with how poor the data is on the whole subject. What's in a syncope workup?
And it was pretty much just listen and hear and do stuff if it's really indicated by history and music like that.
How many of the residents have used the term syncope workup? Be honest. Okay. If you don't get anything outside of this, there is no such thing as a syncope workup. Okay. One of the crucial things about syncope is that it spans, you know, the most simple to the most complex, and it spans the most innocuous to among the most dangerous things in medicine. So I hope that you kind of get out of your system the idea right away. I've been trying to get it out of the system of Jacobi for years, but it's hard to do, that there is such a thing. And you're right, John's absolutely right. There is no such thing as a syncope workup. Everything should be tailored to what you think the patient has. The list of diagnostic tests is very long, and we'll talk about some of them. But it's actually a problem that is incredibly common. And we're going to talk at the end, you know, I'm going to talk for about 20 or 30 minutes, maybe even less, about sort of basic concepts, and we'll go through some of the things that I think are important together. And then we're just going to go through two or three cases, one of which I have, or two, depending on how much time we have and what you have. So the first thing that I think to let's talk about is, what is the pathophysiology of syncope? What is syncope? Let's just make sure that everybody understands the definition of syncope. What is syncope?
That's sudden loss of consciousness.
That's half of it. Sudden loss of consciousness. Well, let me give you
with loss of postural tone.
That's a cause. But you haven't hit on what is syncope. To me, it has a very, very definite, clear-cut definition. That's, you're getting a pathophysiology. Okay. Syncope is loss of consciousness with what?
Complete recovery.
With recovery of consciousness. It's loss and recovery of consciousness. Syncope is when you have a sudden cardiac arrest with ventricular fibrillation. You read up to date, it says, hey, ventricular fibrillation doesn't cause syncope, it causes death. Syncope is a sudden loss of consciousness and regaining of consciousness. It's a harbinger, it rarely causes death. Can certainly cause morbidity, but it rarely causes death. And what it really implies is, what does it imply about what's going on with the brain? Why do you lose consciousness with syncope and then regain it again? What's going on in that period of time? And these are, you don't have to be shy. There are no grades here. I'll turn off the microphone if you want.
Decreased perfusion.
Two?
The brain.
Okay, that's it. So the pathophysiology, and that actually is really, I think this is one of the hardest things to deal with as a cardiologist. Cardiologists are blessed. We may be blessed, but we're blessed with great data. We're blessed with powerful studies. There just isn't anything like that with syncope. There's no agreements, there's small series, there's just a lot of opinion. And there's not really careful thinking about pathophysiology. I'm kind of thinking a lot about physiology these days. But it implies transient increased perfusion to the brain. That is correct. So that's specific. So what, give me a few reasons why you would get decreased perfusion, or maybe I'll just keep it very simple. There are two concepts that are important here. Cardiac output and blood pressure. Okay. Why is cardiac output important? And what do you really need to do to keep the brain going? You need a specific amount of blood flow to the brain. The brain only takes up glucose, interestingly enough, but it takes it up and it takes up oxygen, and it needs a certain amount of blood flow. I did a quick search, and I can't find the amount of blood flow to the brain, but it certainly needs a given amount of blood flow. So cardiac output is going to have something to do with syncope. Why is blood pressure up there? What's that?
To maintain the flow, because
gravity's got something to do with blood pressure, right? And so parts of the body, you don't need as much blood pressure as you do to maintain flow to the brain. You actually have to think about it. If you think about it, you have to have a higher blood pressure to flow to the brain than you do when you're standing to the legs, but for sure to get the blood flow. So blood pressure is also going to have something to do with cardiac output. So what's the cardiac output equation? What's the basic principal equation of cardiac output? Stroke rate times heart volume. Stroke rate times stroke volume times heart rate. Delete that from the website. Okay. Stroke volume times heart rate. And what's the blood pressure equation? Cardiac output times the systemic vascular resistance. These are like, you can get so far into cardiology by memorizing and really understanding these two equations. So, in general, one of these things goes haywire when blood flow, or sometimes both, when blood flow fails to get to the brain. So give me a couple of things that cause syncope that decrease the stroke, decrease the cardiac output. So we're all getting into the differential diagnosis. Aortic stenosis. Okay. We'll get back to that one. Hypovolemia. Good. Okay. Why does hypovolemia decrease the cardiac output? Decreases preload. Oh, very good. That's a good answer. That sounds like an Einstein answer. Okay, great. So what does that mean in terms of these simple but incredibly important concepts?
Stroke
volume goes down. So what's the body's normal response to that? Increase the heart rate. Okay, we all know that. So why does hypovolemia cause syncope? Okay, so with hypovolemia, you're looking at something that may have something to do with posture. Okay, we'll get back to that. Now, why is it that if you're hypovolemic, you faint when you're standing, and then what do we do when? Right. So both of these actually are specific for brain, although in the literature people talk about the general cardiac output and the general blood pressure. When we're talking about syncope, we're really talking about what specifically is going on at the level of the brain. And frequently, the failure to maintain blood pressure reduces the cardiac output as it goes to the brain. Another interesting variation on that is you can have 5 liters of cardiac output, which is the normal cardiac output, and still not have hypoperfusion of the brain. Why? Just think about that one a little bit. Say that again? Okay, that's getting there. I would turn it around and say that 5 liters, of that 5 liters, I would guess about a liter a minute has to go to the brain. Okay? So why does it go to the brain rather than to the arms? Say. Well, yeah, this SVR is really more complicated. And your get autoregulation is a good thought. There's an SVR for the brain, and there's an SVR for the muscle, and so on and so forth. So the distribution of blood flow also has a role to play with syncope, and this becomes important when you have situations where suddenly the systemic vascular resistance of the periphery drops quickly, and that can happen in situations that are usually referred to as vasovagal syncope, where you get a reflex response that lowers peripheral vascular resistance. That may actually, by the way, if you lower peripheral vascular resistance and blood pressure goes down, what happens to cardiac output? Doesn't change. In fact, we can increase cardiac output by lowering systemic vascular resistance. How do we do that? Give me one drug that does that. We use several. Hydralazine? It's a good one. Give me another one. Dobutamine does, may or may not reduce systemic vascular resistance. It increases stroke volume. And can actually lower or raise the blood pressure. Just give me the simple ones. All the unloading agents. Nifedipine, captopril, ACE inhibitors, ARBs. They all reduce systemic vascular resistance, yet they tend to increase cardiac output. So, but if you have something that reduces systemic vascular resistance to the muscle and doesn't change flow to the, doesn't change the SVR to the brain, you will lose blood flow to the brain. Okay, y'all follow that? It's really fairly important basic concepts, because you can think through a few of the differentials that way. Hypovolemia is a very important one, actually. Hypovolemia requires you will reduce the stroke volume. You may actually have an increase in systemic vascular resistance. It'll be dependent on posture, and posture will increase blood flow to the brain, even though there's no other change in what you're doing. So that's a little bit on the pathophysiology. So the next thing I want to talk about is the differential diagnosis. So we've got a few things up there. It's interesting that aortic stenosis is the first one. How many of you have seen syncope from aortic stenosis? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have two. But it's actually very, very rare. Okay, hypovolemia is not so rare. But we haven't even touched on the main ones yet. Say that again? Okay, something called... Yeah, there are different terms for this. Vasovagal is an old term. Neurocardiogenic is in some ways a more sexy term. I'm not sure it's, but some people like to say situational. Okay, what's the common denominator of all of these? Say that again. Yeah. That's part of it. That's not all of it. Okay, nothing's wrong with any of the main organs of the body with this. Okay, it's an abnormal reflex response, and everything's okay. That's important. So the heart's okay, the brain's okay, but the body's not okay because it's sending blood to the wrong place, or it's not getting enough blood out at all. And you did say, we're going to talk about this, but SVR does have something to do with it. It's not the only thing. What do you get with a vasovagal response? What happens? Bradycardia, right. So decreased heart rate. So what's that going to do to flow to the brain? Yeah, I mean, and probably this isn't talked about very much, but the SVR that really drops is mostly in the muscles, so that's going to reduce distribution of blood flow to the brain as well. Cardiac output's going to go way down, blood pressure's going to go way down, and go way down. And what happens? The patient goes way down. Okay. But nothing's wrong, and you can recover from this. And we'll get back to that in a minute. There's some interesting data from the series that from some important series. Okay, so keep going. Why is a cardiologist talking to you about syncope? Okay, so we have big category, and that's cardiac. And arrhythmias is one. What kind of arrhythmias? Bradycardia? Okay. Long QT. Long QT never killed anybody. What kills people with long QT? What kills people with long QT? Well, yeah. If it's a syncopal episode, it isn't V-fib. What is it? Torsades. Right. So you can have tachyarrhythmias, and they're generally VT. That's an important point. SVT and VT includes good old VT, includes torsades. Why is VT rather than V-fib cause syncope? Well, what does VT do to... It's going to increase the heart rate, so why doesn't it increase the cardiac output? His stroke volume goes down. And actually, I used to have a debate with one of the physiologists. He's no longer... He's retired now, but he said, yeah, it shouldn't be because the heart rate goes up that the stroke volume goes down, and he was right. Why does the stroke volume go down with VT as opposed to SVT? Patients with SVT rarely have a syncopal episode, even though their heart rates can be up in the high hundreds. Why?
The filling time decreases because...
It's not the filling time, because the filling time is going to be the same. The filling time depends on the heart rate. What is it about VT? This has turned into a major principle in congestive heart failure management. What is about VT that's different from SVT? What about the QRSs? QRSs are wide. So wide QRSs, we know, will reduce the stroke volume. It's probably the combination of the fast heart rate and the K. Even though the QRS is sort of there, particularly with torsades, sometimes it's hard to tell. Torsades kind of merges into ventricular fibrillation. Some of the torsades just looks like this, and it's hard to tell what's systole and what's diastole. That just means there's increasing discoordination. So arrhythmias are certainly a big issue, and we'll get back to that issue specifically. What else about cardiac? What specifically about cardiac? Other causes of arrhythmias, things? We already got one here, which is... So some structural problems, specifically aortic stenosis is the one that people remember. It's interesting, I didn't know this until... Well into my, I guess it was probably my fellowship, that aortic insufficiency is also associated with syncopal episodes, and it is equally predictive of mortality. We rarely see stenosis or aortic regurgitation going that far, but they're both. So structural problems. What else? What are the structural problems? Okay, great. So cardiomyopathies are really... Why do most cardiomyopathy cause syncope? Say that again?
Left ventricular obstruction.
Okay, so that's... What's the EF on the patient? So that can be... We have something called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. And obstruction of the left ventricle can occur and can cause the heart rate, the cardiac output to drop, the stroke volume to go down. What else about cardiomyopathy causes syncope? These things are not, I'm listing them, they're not necessarily, they overlap.
Right. Arrhythmias?
Yeah, sure. And although hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is sometimes associated with outflow obstruction, we know that that's probably not the reason why people have sudden death, and probably is not the major reason why most people with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy have syncopal episodes. They have them because they have arrhythmias. They have ventricular tachyarrhythmias primarily. Okay. Anything else you want to put down? You haven't hit everyone's favorite right now. Brugada syndrome. You know, there are these... there is right ventricular dysplasia. There are a lot of structural abnormalities that are associated with either arrhythmias or syncopal episodes. And of course, of these, which are the most dangerous? Well, let me turn it around. Which are the safest? That's a good guess. That is right. Vasovagal episodes in several series. I'm going to, in the biggest series that I am aware of, and a good series from the Framingham study. The Framingham study has published several papers on syncope. They showed that if you have an episode that's diagnosed as vasovagal syncope, there's no difference between the death rate of that patient, of those patients, and the general population. Okay. So these are the ones we're worried about, right? Obviously. I want to go back a little bit to hypovolemia. That is, I would expand that to postural or orthostatic. Do you have to be hypovolemic to have orthostatic hypotension? What else does it? Say that again? Anemia does not cause orthostatic hypotension unless it's what? The favorite term for the coders. Acute blood loss, you've learned it. Acute blood loss anemia, or blood bleeding. And for those that have heard me on too many intake rounds, I'm very pleased to find out that one of the basic tests for syncope is?
Quiet.
Right. Good. Okay, great. So acute bleeding can cause syncope. It's something that people forget. Medications, that's what I'm getting at, yeah. So hypovolemia can be from medications. And that's a huge one for our population. I mean, those of you that have taken care of patients with syncope, everybody goes through the list, and it's not that you shouldn't be rigorous or even sort of methodical about thinking about syncope. It's when you come to order tests that you should be specific. But we always go through the medication list. How do medications cause hypovolemia, quote, that is, they decrease perfusion to the brain by doing what? Essentially by vasodilation. So what medications, that's one way to do it. How else do they do it? We'll get back. So yeah, decreased SVR. That's vasodilatation. Okay, that gets down here for sure. We should put meds as a big one, and we'll get back to that as it interferes with the heart. I'm talking about hypovolemia. I'm talking about this concept. So one way they do it is to reduce SVR. And give me four drugs that do that. Alpha blockers is the classic. Very good. That's excellent. Alpha blockers, we know any. When you get to the nursing home patients, all the men are on alpha blockers, and they get up and boom, down they go from their alpha blockers. They're on alpha blockers because of the prostatism, because they're okay. Give me another few.
Nitrates,
yes. Under certain circumstances, generally you take a nitroglycerin, nothing happens. It's generally when patients are actually volume depleted to begin with that nitrates make things worse. How do nitrate, nitroglycerin does what to the